presenting results of a study called PEACH, Pregnancy, Environment and Child Health, and also there were a lot of people involved because this is a complex study, and at the same time we had some biomonitoring on offspring of female fish eaters, female offspring of fish eaters, so I will compare these results with these Michigan fish eaters. We started with funding from EPA. We started a study at Michigan State University. Then I moved to South Carolina. The study was interrupted, which is a little bit hazardous, but it worked. And I will present exposure to halocogenetic organic compounds and utero exposure and via breastfeeding. And these are PCBs, DDE, and PBDE. We also looked at outcome. These are immune markers, cytokines, immunoglobulin, infectious and allergic manifestation in childhood. And we will have some comparison of exposure assessment. This idea started when we found that asthma and IgE concentration were related to DDE blood concentration in children. And a lot of people were thinking I made a fool out of myself when I suggested that DDE is related to asthma. I was thankful that after some years a Spanish group came up and showed the same kind of finding, and they in addition, because we did not could not, in children we could not identify was it more the in utero exposure or the breast milk exposure, they also looked at the different type of exposure, namely at birth, DDE at birth or DDE via breastfeeding, and they found that it was DDE at birth and not DDE at breastfeeding, which is an important discussion because you want to know is the main intake in children from intrauterine exposure or in exposure during breast milk, from breast milk. So we tried to set up a study where we looked at maternal exposures, we looked at the placenta, at cord blood, we looked at cytokine and immune responses of cord blood cells, we looked at breast milk, immune properties, PCBs, DDEs and PBDs, and we are following these children up to find out allergic and infectious manifestation in childhood, such as middle ear infection or asthma, wheezing and eczema. Our population are first mothers who have the first baby, 18 years and older, no multiple births, no diabetes, and no infectious diseases, and less than 20 weeks of gestation when we enroll them. And it was a little bit surprising, but we have to screen about 450 mothers during pregnancy in the first 20 weeks to get about 30% will be the first pregnancy. And of the 30%, another 30% is under the age of 18. So you end up finally with 13% of 450 mothers to get about this number, which is a quite tedious process. We had serum samples, placental samples, and breast milk samples. And we compare this also, and we continue the sampling in South Carolina. These halogenated organic compounds are expressed in nanogram per gram lipids. So one issue was PCB exposure. For PCB exposure, it is obvious that the exposure is very low. In Michigan fish eaters, the exposure was higher, and it goes back to some kind of either maternal influences or some kind of history. Both population reside in the west coast of Michigan, that is at the shore of Lake Michigan, and they both are exposed to a higher amount of fish consumption. But PCB seemed to be really, it seemed to be gone in this new population. DDE exposure is much higher than the PCB exposure. And it's also higher in the female offspring of fish eaters. PBDE exposures in our group is practically non-existent, is a large group didn't have any detectable levels. It's higher in female offspring of fish eaters, but you can see there's no age trend. So you can see that the new introduced chemical, and it still goes down, that the older population have lower levels compared to the one we had before. For instance, DDE, older population have higher levels. If you have a new chemical introduced, older population have lower levels. When we compare the serum levels and placenta and breast milk levels, this is non-existing in PCB. For DDE, we have the highest concentration found, and serum, and there are differences. And for PBDEs, the new emerging chemicals, it was also low. The mean levels of DDE found in placenta levels was about 78 nanogram per gram lipids. In Spanish women, they found 76 nanogram per gram lipids, and in Danish population, it was lower. For in breast milk, we found 303 nanograms per lipids. This is comparable to Caucasian women in Canada about 15 years ago. It's lower in this Finnish and Danish group. In Australian women, it's comparable. So then we looked at the concentration between PCB concentration in serum and in the placenta, and there's no association. There exists no association because the levels were so low. If we look for DDE serum levels and placental levels, we see there is a correlation, but the correlation is not very strong. For if we compare placental and breast milk concentration, we see that the concentration are stronger correlated. So one conclusion is that HOC level in Michigan seem to be comparable to levels measured in Canada and Australia, but seem to be higher than those in Scandinavia. I think one of the success is also that the PCB levels were often not more detected, lower than detection limit. This is success of the policy around the Great Lakes. Maternal HOC concentrations are not good predictors of the intrauterine exposure or breast milk concentration. We have to be very careful using maternal HOC concentration as predictor of placental and breast milk concentration. Placental and breast milk levels were closer related, and there are some suggestions in the literature that the metabolic activity is suggested to alter the HOC concentration. Our next step is now to look at HOC and immune development. The general idea is that immune responses can be primed during the intrauterine development, and this phase or this developmental phase may be more important than the postnatal phase. And the intrauterine exposure to halogenated organic compound may alter immune responses detected in cord blood. HOC are considered to act via endocrine disruption, and the endocrine system is very important for the immune system during pregnancy, because it switches the immune system from a Th1 to a Th2 system during pregnancy. In cord blood, immune markers, what we detect at birth, are predictive, not perfectly, but they are predictive of infectious and allergic manifestation in childhood. So the idea is that intrauterine exposure may be related to infection and allergic manifestation in childhood. We looked at cord blood markers. We looked at interleukin-4 and interleukin-13. These are Th2 cytokines. They are higher in allergic diseases. And we looked at interferon-1, which is a cytokine for a normal immune response. And we also looked at their ratio, because this will to some extent correct for general increases of cytokine at birth, and we looked at these outcomes as measurement in the cord serum and as after stimulation of cord blood cells. So we collected cord blood cells and stimulated them to house-dust mite and OFF albumin. What we found is that IL-13 and also the ratio of IL-13 divided by interferon gamma was related to cord serum. That placental DD levels and IL-13 were related to cord serum. We didn't find the same association when we looked at maternal blood. We only found it for placental concentration. The placenta is the main important barrier or for cord blood. So we are working on this causal web of early exposure, which is a little bit tricky. We have the cord blood immune markers, these immune markers which are predictive of these infections. We and others, also studies in Canada and studies with smokers, have shown that intrauterine exposure influence cord blood immune markers. The next question is it intrauterine exposure or breast milk exposure? Both are related. And it will be important to find out, do we have to worry about breast milk exposure, or is it already done in utero? Then we also looked at breast milk immune constituents, because breast milk is not breast milk because it's different in a lot of mothers. What has been found that is that these breast milk constituents are predictive of infectious diseases and allergic manifestation in childhood. The problem, however, with these studies is that they have not determined cord blood immune markers. And we see cord blood immune markers are related to immune constituents in breast milk. So it could be that findings which are found here may be due to cord blood immune markers. So investigation of the early programming hypothesis are in its early stage. There are several studies that indicate that cord serum immune markers are affected by intrauterine exposures. And the idea is that the persisting expression of genes, namely gene-environment interaction or epigenetic effect, may explain the enduring effect of intrauterine exposures. This study was done with support from the US EPA. The AWESOM study was supported by ATSDR, and we had funding from the Gerber Foundation and Michigan Great Lakes Protection Fund. Thank you. I think it's an important question. If after birth you think you have the deviation again, the switch over, and one idea is if there's not enough, if there's too much hygiene, we don't have to switch over. That's one idea. The other idea is if the priming is too strong, we don't have to switch over. These are two controversial explanations.
So and we test the priming with
No, we are testing this with ELISA, but in cord blood. We now have received funding from the Thresher Foundation to follow up these children and to get a skin prick test, or if they don't like skin prick tests, we will get a little blood drop for these IgE.